Sorry, this morning is a little different, so it requires a little bit more shuffling than we normally do. Usually the transition is a little bit smoother. Okay, when you guys came in, you should have got some notes and some sticky notes. Did anyone not get any sticky notes? No? Also, you should head to a table now, because you're going to have to talk to other people, and it's nicer to do it around a table than when you're sitting in a row. Okay, so if everyone has the notes, that is good. Another thing, the kids had a lot of fun putting down when they first started coming to Grand Valley. As you can tell, we have all of those little babies and a few little toddlers up there. It was very fun. But for the sake of the timeline, we would also like to know when you guys started coming. So I have these little grown-up people that we're going to put up, because I'm assuming, since we only started in 1989, which, if you are a Swiftie, as my daughter is a very exciting year. She was thrilled to find out our church started in 1989 because that's the name of one of Taylor Swift's albums. She, like, suddenly we were just that much more exciting. So I'm actually going to hand out. We're going to have to be ready to participate with each other. We're going to have to be ready to walk around. You'll have fit in some steps this morning in church that you don't normally get to do. I'm going to give everyone some little people. And I've got two tapes. I may be able to go find some other tapes, but it's a good opportunity to stretch. You'll be able to come up and put a little person on our little timeline of when you started attending Grand Valley. So I'll give you, I have plenty of little people here, so I'll probably give every table a little bit too much. Since I gave you guys the people first, you guys get the tape first. There you go, everyone can have a little person. And the first thing that we're going to be reflecting on, other than when did you start arriving at Grand Valley, is thinking about two times that you really felt like Grand Valley was doing really well. Times when you were really encouraged personally or encouraged about the way the church was doing. And the notes have it worded way better than I'm going to say it right now. So just remembering some of the wonderful experiences that you've had here. Times when you felt or saw or heard that this church was functioning exactly as it should be. So you can take some time now in between the people that are coming up to put their little people when they started coming. Just think of those, some of those wonderful times, and you can write those down on some of the green Post-it notes. Everyone should have two green Post-it notes. And I'll give you guys the tape for putting your little person on the wall, and then once you've all got tape on your person, you can pass the tape to some of the other tables. Okay, on those green sheets, you can write about a wonderful time at Grand Valley, and then just kind of put something about the general time that it happened, the year, or you might not remember years, you might remember who was pastor at that time, and so we do have the senior or lead pastors on the wall. If you just know who was in charge or who was here on staff, you can put it in the general area there too. I'm putting tape on my little person. I started coming here around 2014, so that's around here. So I'm going to hang out with all these babies that started coming around 2014 or were born around then. There you go. You've got some sticky notes. And Colin and Allie, I just realized you guys don't have any either, but just because you're working this morning doesn't mean you're exempt, so I will bring you some sticky notes as well. Oh, you just kind of go in between the years. I don't have all the years on there, so you just kind of... So this morning, we are going to be discussing the history of our church, but also thinking about its present and its future, and also thinking about our lives and their history and their future, and basically exploring God's plan for our life and our church, and learning about that plan from the things that we can learn from our journey so far. So there are some scriptures that talk about God's plan for individuals and for churches. Just a few of them. My clicky is not clicking. It might need new batteries. Can you move it, Allie? And the So one of the verses would be Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now, this was a message to Jeremiah, who was a prophet. And it's not that we read the scripture and we go, oh, we must all be appointed prophets, and this is clearly what we're supposed to be doing. But the fact that God was able to say this to Jeremiah, that he says, I knew you before you were born, and I knew what job you were going to have. I knew that you were going to speak to my people. That gives us an indication of what God knows about us. He knows what he wants us to do. He knows who he wants us to be, the jobs that he wants us to have. Maybe not accountant or nurse, but he knows how he wants us to be fully human. And he knows how he wants us to operate as a community, as believers. And he's known that before we were born. This morning when we started, we read some of Psalm 139. We didn't make it to verse 13. But verse 13 to 16 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." This, again, was a message to an individual, a significant individual. This is a Psalm of David, so he ended up being king of Israel. But we don't just have scriptures about this. We also have scriptures about the church. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us all anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." God has a plan for you. He saw you before you were born, and he ordained what you would be. Christ came and redeemed us so that we can do the good things that God planned for us long ago. So the first truth that we'll explore this morning, or that is part, the foundation of what we're going to talk about this morning, is that we were created to be and grow a certain way and do a certain work. Many of the scripture passages about Christians and about how Christians are supposed to be in the church, they talk about the different gifts that God has given us. And I put a list of scriptures there if you ever want to read them and see what resonates. There's also, I know that there's some like spiritual gift quizzes that you can take and other things that kind of assess, hey, what are my gifts? What does God want me to be in community with other people? How does he want me to operate? How has he made me specifically? But some of the signs that we can just notice in our life that can help us figure out how God has made us specifically unique to be to operate in the world and to operate in the church is to notice what makes you, and this is rhymes. I did get this from my dad. My dad likes little things like this, but I do like this little rhyme. So if you're trying to figure out, what is it that I'm supposed to do? What is it that God is calling me to do? You can notice what makes you fly. What just is so exciting to do and the places that it's exciting to operate? What makes you fly? What makes you cry? What breaks your heart? What things do you hear about the world or you know about people in your life that just breaks your heart and makes you want to do something about it? That's a sign. What makes you sad? What makes you mad? What brings up that righteous anger in you that you're like, why is someone not doing something about this? Someone needs to do something. Why are people not seeing it? I would suggest that is a sign that is a passion that you have been given. You can also notice the signs of what you do well and the places that you can tell has the blessing of God. I don't know if you have had the privilege of when you're doing certain things. It doesn't happen all the time in my life, but there has been certain moments where I am doing something and I can feel God there. And it's not about what I'm doing. It's not about me. It's about what he is wanting to do there. So those are some of the things that can help us understand what God has created us for. The thing is, and we discussed this a little bit last week, though there is a way that God has created us to be, we don't always follow that way. We are imperfect. We unfortunately live in an imperfect world, and we are imperfect people. But God has given us many gifts to help us through when we or others don't follow the way that he wanted for us. Last week, we talked about repentance. We talked about that gift that God gives us, that as we are headed along a path that maybe we thought was great, maybe we weren't thinking about, maybe we just knew wasn't the right path, but just that's the way we ended up heading. God gives us the gift, the ability to turn around. And as I was thinking about this message this morning, I thought about one of the most significant stories of repentance or turning around or transformation that is in the Bible, and that is the transformation, the repentance, the turning around of Saul, who became Paul. Here is a man who was persecuting the church. He was headed very passionately along a certain path, and then he had Jesus appear to him, and suddenly everything changed. Then he realized, this is not the direction that God wants me to head. And he turned around, and he went from being someone who was very passionate about his persecution of the church and wanting to stomp it down to one of the most significant spreaders of the gospel and encouragers of churches. The majority of the New Testament is letters that he wrote to churches instructing them. But another gift that I wanted to talk about this morning is the gift of redemption. Just realized I missed my... There we go. That's what I wanted. So this is along the repentance line. We did talk about this a little bit last week, about the sorrow that God gives us. I equated it to guilt. It's not shame that we are a horrible person, but guilt that our actions were not what God wanted. And in one of Paul's letters to one of the churches, when he was writing Corinthians, he talked about the sorrow that they had experienced and the sorrow that God wants us to experience. It leads us away from sin and it results in salvation. But there's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow that doesn't lead to repentance results in spiritual death. So one of the gifts that God gives us is the ability to feel guilt. We don't love guilt. We try to figure out how to get rid of it, or sometimes we get trapped in shame where we just start thinking how horrible we are. But the gift that God gives us is the understanding of who he's created us to be, the standard that he has called us to, the way that he wants us to live, and then revealing to us, sometimes dramatically like Paul, sometimes in a still voice, sometimes in someone coming alongside you, this is not the path. This is not the path that God has for you. He is calling you to turn around and come back to what he has called you to. So that was repentance. But the second gift, one of the ones that I wanted to talk about this morning, is the gift of redemption. The fact that God is able to take a situation that seems broken and helpless and redeem it. Some verses that I want to explore as we're talking about this is Ephesians 6:12. It's not going forward again, Allie. Can you do it? Thanks. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And we know that God causes, this is in Romans, another one, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. When I think about the brokenness of the world, and when I'm thinking beyond our brokenness, but sometimes included our own, how we make mistakes, there's a story that I think of that I was told about 20 years ago. It was actually at a youth convention, I think. I think I was a leader at the youth convention. But they had these breakout sessions. And one of the breakout sessions was led by this man who was a missionary in Ukraine for youth. And he was talking about the work that he had done, and he was talking about some of the roadblocks that they had encountered in their work. And the stuff that they had been doing, oh, it wasn't Ukraine, it was Romania, I think. Sorry, I said the wrong place. Some of what they were doing was It sounds so weird to say, but they planned raves. There was a lot of party culture where they were. There was a lot of alcoholism, even among the youth. And so one of the things they did was they started planning these parties that were actually Christian parties. So they had the dancing, they had everything else. They didn't have the alcohol, but then they also had someone come out and just share the gospel with these kids, and it was going wonderful. And there were so many things that they were doing. They started getting involved with the World Bank, and like just the things that were happening seemed amazing, and it seemed like God's hand was really on what they were doing. And then something happened with their visas, and he and his wife were getting kicked out of the country. And nothing they could do, like just every time they were trying to like make this better, they had this whole thing that they were doing. They did want it to be eventually taken over by people that were living in that country, but at that time it was not ready. And everything they tried, it was shut down. They were not wanted anymore. They were getting kicked out. And he talked about sitting on the plane to head home was the lowest he'd ever been. He could not understand what God was doing. He was like, how does this fit? I thought you were ordaining everything that we were doing. I thought you were, like, your hand was in this. Why in the world are we being sent home? They made it home. And somehow, one of the appeals to the government had gotten to the right person. And this person knew some of the work that they had been doing and had been really impressed with the changes that had been happening because of the work that they had been doing. And that person, who was higher up in the government, ended up writing a letter that said, this couple is welcome in our country anytime. They can come here, they can be here. This is not a problem. And so this speaker who was sharing, he said, what I thought, and he said, I'm certain someone meant it for ill. Someone was trying to stop that work that we were doing. And yet, in their attempt to stop it, God was able to turn it around and give them something that they would have never, ever had. If there had never been the problem, they would have continued every couple of years needing to apply for their visas, needing, you know, they would have wondered if this could ever happen again. And instead, God gave them something that said, you're never going to have to worry about this again. You are going to be able to work and live in this country. So frequently, when I think of some of the lowest moments that we experience, and I think sometimes they can happen because we've messed up. Sometimes they can happen because we're trying to be thwarted. But it doesn't matter whether it's our own brokenness or the world's brokenness. God is able to redeem it. He is able to cause everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So we've already looked at the cards, and we filled out some of our high moments. And I know many people put their high moments up. I don't know if everyone did. So if you haven't yet been able to put up some of your high moments, you can come do that now. And I don't know if you've been able to share as you were writing down, if you were able to share any of them with people at your table. But you can also do that. I found when I tested this out on Drew at home this week. And I said, what was your highest moment, the most wonderful moment at Grand Valley? And he was like, I don't know. And then I was able to say something to him. And then he's like, oh, that was good. Sometimes it's helpful when we have someone else say, it kind of triggers it. Well, mine, I'll tell everyone now. One of my high points was when we were going through Hearing God, and we were exploring listening prayer, and we had an evening where it was basically a training, but it was open to everyone, and anyone who wanted to learn about listening prayer was able to come. And so we had this evening, and our pastor instructed us a little bit on how listening prayer works and how you can listen for the voice of God. And then we practiced it, and it was just a powerful moment for me, not only to be developing practices for me to hear God's voice myself, but to be in a room of people, to be with my church family, and we were also doing the same. So that's one of my high points, so I'm going to come put it over here. I honestly don't know what year it was, so I'm just... guessing that it was around 2017. Pardon? We'll do them in a little bit. Okay. All right, and I do have this mic here, and we're going to leave this timeline up for a bit so that if people want to read, or I know that not everyone is here this week, and I'm going to provide an opportunity for some of the people that weren't able to come to also see some of these things. But does anyone have a wonderful moment, a high moment that you would like to share? And because I've been making you come and put them up here, I will come to you with the mic. You just have to raise your hand, and I will get some more steps in. So does anyone want to share what one of their high moments was? Josh. And he's coming.
I was just kind of reflecting a bit on what was a high point for me. And I think there's a small group, the first one that we hosted. And it was a bunch of, I'm pretty sure Paula was in it. And, you know, it was just, we were all in the same phase of life. And it was just a real neat time to go through that together. We were just all starting to have our children. And no, that was just a real, like, there was a real sense of community that happened there for us. And yeah, really close relationships and friendships were formed. So that was kind of it for me.
Awesome. Anybody else? You'll come up here? Okay.
I think just like Josh said, some of my high moments have been when, you know, life group. So amazing times when we have had a group of probably 15, sometimes in no place in the home, like about 20 people and there's no place in the home to sit, like that sort of a situation. And we have had some potluck dinners and where there was youngsters and, I mean, the total number was like 25, 20. It's not about the number, it's about the time we had wonderful singing together and praying together, praying for each other. That are some of those really high moments. There's another high moment that I remember is when I was part of the leadership, we went for this for a Set Free conference at Southland Church. That was a time when we really were able to pray together and set ourselves free from various baggages and bondages we had in the past. That was really one of my spiritual high moments as being a part of the church.
Thanks, Gerald. Vange, I'll come to you.
On the same note as the small groups, or whatever they're called these days, but anyway, I'm a part of one who, when there's a prayer issue, they'll send out a text and everyone for asking for prayer, people respond and they pray, and in minutes from when you have an urgent need for prayer, you have five or six responses. Yes, I will pray. I will meet that need in prayer for you. And this has been just a real highlight being a part of this group.
Thanks, Vange. Anybody else? Okay, I'll see if there's some legible writing up here for me. This one mentions, very exciting that they were part of the drama team at the beginning. I know many times in our history, because Grand Valley started with such a passion for creating space for people who didn't believe to experience God in a way that they may not have an opportunity elsewhere. Things like the music and having a drama team and just presenting the gospel in a variety of ways was very important. So this person is talking about how exciting it was to be a part of the drama team at the beginning, that it was just a wonderful high. Someone here mentioned signing up for life groups. We've had a lot of that. Another small group one I see. Someone's talking about getting baptized. That's wonderful. That was in 2015. So much like with our own lives, when we can learn more about who God has called us to be from the things that make us fly or make us cry, make us sad or mad, or that we can tell has the blessing of God, it can be similar for our community of believers, for our church. When we are able to look through our history and see the things that were good, to remember the times when we felt, wow, God is here. Something is happening. And it doesn't necessarily, I think it frequently doesn't happen in the programs that we do. Even me, I mentioned the hearing God thing, but it wasn't necessarily the program. It was the fact that we were all seeking to listen to God together. So things like this, exploring the history of the church and the high moments, it can be helpful. But by nature of life, by nature of life in this world, by nature of brokenness and messiness that we all experience, it's not all high moments. And there are low moments. So the next thing I would like you to do is to consider some of the not-so-pleasant experiences that you've had since you've been a part of this church. Times when you felt or saw or heard that this church was not functioning as it should. And then if you could briefly describe one of those on your pink note. And then you can bring it up. These ones we are a little less excited about discussing or sharing with others, but if you could write it down and bring it up, I'm not going to ask you to share specifically that, but I will have a question about that time or what we've learned from that time. So just so you know, and I also will not be going through and reading all of the sticky notes, but if you can think of a low time, a time that broke your heart, a time that was difficult, you could write that down and bring it up on our timeline. That would be helpful too. So in light of some of our low moments, I just realized I don't think I put my second high moment up, which will connect. I'll explain. Oh, I have it right here. So the Bible says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love them, love him. And sometimes when we are in it, when we are in the low spots, it is very difficult to see at all how any good might come out of the low point that we are in. But I would like an opportunity for any of you to share your answer to this question. Can you think of any ways that God may have used that experience for your good or for the good of the church? Because God is able to redeem even the worst moments that opposing forces may mean to take us down, and he can transform them for good. Like that story I told about that missionary and how it ended up being even better than they could have imagined if it hadn't have gotten horrible first. So as we look at these stories, or even as you look at your life, if you don't want to share about the church, you could think about how have you seen God redeem something that was low and bad and not good? And how can you see how he views that experience for good? So I'll start with one of mine. One of my low moments was during the pandemic. It was just generally not a great time. I don't know anyone who had a great time during the pandemic. But I felt really disconnected. And I know that there were some people, even a part of our church, who really excelled at still maintaining connection. I know some of the small groups or some of the people, that they were able to still be meeting with people regularly and the Zoom calls. And I'm not sure if it was my stage of life or what it was, but I just felt really disconnected. And just having a message on Sunday morning was not enough. It felt almost oppressive because it was missing what I needed, which was people. And from that, I found when we started coming back to church after the pandemic, I think we did learn. That was a really low moment, and I was wondering what we, it was low. I was wondering, what are we even doing? Why is it just about this? But I felt like coming back, there has been so much more of a value of being intentional with our time and being intentional to value connection, and I've really appreciated that. But another one of my high points is actually very recently, like last week. And it was when Jill came and she talked about how she heard of a need. It started with her kid just saying, hey, there's a kid at school who's never seen snow before. And then she thought to ask more questions, like, hey, this kid who's never seen snow before, do they have winter gear? And her daughter was like, no, not really. And again, Jill could have just left it there. But she was like, I think I want to find out more. So she took the time to find out more, to reach out, to figure out how she could connect to this family. And she figured out how to help. But then not only did she do that, she was like, you know what I could do? I could turn to my church family, and I could tell them about this opportunity. I could tell them that I know that there's a need here. And so she came, and she shared on Sunday morning, and I've been getting updates in the week, and I put something in the email. But the stories that she's been able to tell me, and she's like, oh, yes, this person has this, and they're able to give that. Or when this person says this, and just the way that we've showed up, it felt really like church to me. It felt like we were doing ministry together. So, that's one of my high points. And it feels like it came out of a low. We have a lot of highs here before the pandemic. And I haven't read them all. But I feel like there's something that I learned, and it could just be my lesson, but I feel like other people learned it as well. And I've noticed a shift in how we relate to one another and how we long to relate to our community in a different way. So to me, this high, it is a bit related to the low and the lessons that we learned there. We are already past 12, which we normally don't do. And I don't say that to rush you, but I wanted to give an opportunity. So don't feel rushed. But if you can think of a good, and it doesn't have to be recently, it could be maybe a low or a high or something in your life. But anyone like to share something that they've learned? A story of good, how God made good come out of something that at the time didn't feel like it was going to come. I know I shouldn't have mentioned that it was after 12, because you may not. Well, I hope my story was an encouragement. I hope the story of this other person who was a missionary was encouraging. But we will keep the timeline up. It will be up here next week, too, for anyone who didn't have an opportunity to add things. But I would encourage you to consider this week, to pray this week, to ask God to reveal the times to you where he was able to redeem even the worst moments, and ask him to reveal ways in which he might be doing so now. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give a blessing to dismiss us. Father, we don't know how you work. We know some of the things that you have revealed to us, but there are so many moments in our lives where we are discouraged, where we feel down, where we don't know where things are going, and we don't know how you could possibly turn it around. And yet you are God. And this morning, as we consider some of the wonderful things that we have seen you do, and we talk about some of the low moments that we have seen, may you help us see the pattern that increases our faith in you, that even though we don't know the plan, you are at work, and you are able to work all things for good. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go, may you feel God with you this week. May you see him in all moments, the low and the high, even though you may not understand the full picture. May you know that he is with you. Amen.